What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This was a vibe on the low. To the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is a lunch break with Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon. DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. It's hour two with the lunch break crew, y'all. We got some vegetables on the menu today. Some they might not want to eat. They don't want
it. Not the vegetables.
They don't want
not
the broccoli.
The broccoli that was man-made broccoli.
Without cheese.
No cheese. No Parmesan sauce.
They don't want these Brussels sprouts. They don't want these Brussels sprouts, man. We talking about data centers, y'all. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. Everybody was mad at AI, and I get it. Mm-hmm. AI could get dangerous. It's eliminating jobs. Stop seeing people.
Everybody using that stuff for anything. I done seen women live 100 different lives on my time. I'm like, okay, sis. Wait a minute, this AI picture had me convinced. I was like, she doing everything.
I got somebody trying to scam me right now on Instagram using AI, trying to buy my musical catalog. I was like, you're not getting Bow.
Oh, my goodness. He said, what's up, Bow?
Like, we building our Wisconsin right now, man. What's wrong with you?
We building our Wisconsin.
Can't just get out of way. Man.
No, that's funny, though. That's actually hilarious.
But. No, we got to have an honest conversation about human consumption of data. These data centers are processing our usage of Netflix, Amazon Prime, Roblox, Call of Duty. Just searching on Google, YouTube.
Yeah. Our everyday activities.
Everyday activity. Facebook, just putting up a status. I really wish we could find out how much data was used arguing about data centers on Facebook and the internet. X, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok.
That would be really interesting to see, honestly. But y'all used up all the data. Y'all used up all the water. Like, dang. It was us. We was the problem.
And our constant usage of it. Our constant usage of it. I just want us to think about it. I just want us to think about it. But here we go. Where did it go? Where did it go? I had the numbers.
Going on.
It was a very interesting stat, and I lost my place on our research that we did. But essentially, the generation that was mostly against data centers uses the most data.
What generation is that?
Z.
Really?
I'm trying to find
Gen Z. That would be right before the millennials, or is that X? I get those two.
I thought Z was after the millennials, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so that's the younger ones.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
I
get Z
wrong.
And X confused. I always get them confused.
I don't even know what I am. I'd like to say I'm a millennial.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Here we go. I think we said this already, but U.S. daily media consumption is projected to hit a record 13 hours and 26 minutes per day in 2026. This was 2026. Damn near using data half of the hours in the day. The highest ever measured, driven specifically by generative AI use, layering on top of already heavy used social media and streaming habits. The average American now spends roughly 6 to 7 hours a day on screens outside of work, with social media alone accounting for about 3 hours of that globally. Streaming set a record too. 16 trillion minutes streamed in 2025 alone, a 19% increase in just 1 year. Meaning the underlying demand for video infrastructure is still accelerating, not leveling off. Hence why people are building more data centers.
I mean, with the new trend of everybody becoming a streamer, I could see how that's happening. 24-hour streams, in real life streams, like people literally are like streaming consistently, like, and it's more demand for it than ever. Like, I got people hitting me up all the time, like, I wonder what 24 hours with you would be. You got to start streaming. I'm like, people really sit in front of a camera 24 hours straight up going.
Like, I'm telling you.
And it's a demand for it.
Facebook Live. Facebook Live. Yeah. You know how many people went live protesting data centers?
They ain't write about it in the newspaper. They went live. See, I mean, hey, if you about it, you got to write in the newspaper. You got to send a strongly worded letter. No more data usage.
And you only could get it printed. Don't email it out, because that's data too.
They can't even print it. We need it handwritten.
Here you go. Gen Z averages about, handwritten is funny. Gen Z averages about 9 hours a day on screens. Young adults 18 to 29 average over 8 hours, meaning the generations with the most decades of consumption still ahead of them are also the heaviest current users. They just getting started.
Yep. Man.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't understand. So people are against data centers, but they're still using data. And I feel like when we add these data centers, right, and they're protesting, it's kind of like, if we don't add these data centers, we'll be left behind almost. Like with AI, like I hear people talk about how they're against AI and they don't like it, but it's one of those things that's happening regardless. People are using this data no matter what. People are using AI no matter what. So it's one of those things where it's like, I hate to say it, but you gotta get with it or get left behind at this point. That's what it sounds like.
Robert says, none of these things you are describing compare to the usage of AI data centers, though. What I'm describing is these data centers that are being built is powering these platforms that are being used, Robert. What do you think is, like, where do you think all this information is stored for Amazon Prime? That ain't just on no hard drive that they got under the computer on a desk. What do you think all your Facebook messages, what do you think you on YouTube right now using this chat, typing that, where do you think that message is stored so when people go back, they could go see your comment? What do you think of Google? You know who owns YouTube? Google. What do you think a Google data center is used for? Potawatomi had a data center that's been in Milwaukee since 2012. Not as the same large scale. He says, do you know how long these companies have had their things versus how long slash how fast these other centers are popping up? Because demand. We haven't slowed down our consumption, Robert. You using more data as you sit there and type on Google, proving Google point that, hey, man, we need more data centers.
Yeah.
We don't ever want to look within. We don't want to ever admit our doom scrolling on the internet.
Even with the boom of AI, like, it went from nobody knowing what these things was to everybody literally, like, people genuinely having consistent conversations using AI. Like, people doing their day-to-day using AI. Like I said, like, while I'm in my car driving, I talk to Grok all day. I might be a problem. Grok is connected to my car. I don't even listen to music no more. I'm like, Grok, so this is what I'm doing today. Do I have time for this, this, this? Can you Google this? Can you do the math on this? Everything is in assistant mode right now.
Yeah. Don't run from it, Robert. Call up. Have a conversation. Educate us. Don't run from it. Where do you think all of this stuff is being stored? At data centers. Educate us. Don't run from it, Robert Lance. Educate me if I'm wrong. I just did the research, and they're building data centers because the demand for more data and compute is rising. And ironically, the generation that is most anti-data centers is the ones using the most data.
Let him cook.
Yes, the AI agents that they are putting on top of these platforms is also accelerating it. But they're putting these AI agents because the demand is so, because humans want things faster. Humans don't want to do the actual work of doing the research. People run into ChatGPT to put together their whole books and all their things now. Like, we have gotten so microwave as a community. We want it so much faster, so now they generating these things. I'm just asking questions. We using it. We've been using it. Please call in. 833-212-1017. I don't build data centers. I know we streaming right now on YouTube.
With a strong connection, too.
No AirPods. I know we don't want to hear this. I know we don't want to hear this. We need to have the conversation of how we hold companies accountable with how these data centers are able to operate in our communities, in our states, in our cities, whatever we want to call it. But we can't ignore the fact that we consume in a lot of data. Go ahead, Shannon.
No, I was just going to read some comments before we head over to break. Aaron is him said, come on, Robert, you are dead wrong. Aaron is him said, you can't make this mess up. RC Creation Muse 2023 said, unfortunately, it's inevitable. People are going to be selling celebrity info like record catalogs in the future. Have a whole AI persona built up of us. Better invest in bottled water companies. Felix said it's gonna be looking like the Matrix in the future, which I mean, yeah, like there's already AI representatives, there's already AI like artists. AI is taking over and fast. Like I remember the beginning of last year not really even knowing what it was, and all of a sudden I can't avoid it. Like it's genuinely a part of my day-to-day life, and it's not only like me being on Instagram or Facebook or like I said, when I drive in my car, I'm talking to Grok. When I'm preparing for different things, I'm fact checking using AI because it's faster. But We'll be right back after this break. You are listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth with Ray, Nitty, and maybe Shannon. This is your lunch break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are in hour two with the Lunch Break crew, Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Man, we talking about a whole bunch of things on the menu today. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. If you're just joining us, we were having a conversation about data centers and the human consumption that already exists. But we do have Dr. Adil Korkor in the building, who is also a sponsor for our Truth Family Fest as well. So we will have some questions for him as we get into this interview. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Shannon, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you for coming. It's really good having you here.
So.
You're welcome.
For those that don't know, for people hearing about AB Korkor Foundation for the first time, what inspired you to create it, and what problem did you feel needed to be addressed?
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. This is really a very passionate story for me. Is that in 2017, I decided to step down from my clinical practice as a kidney specialist and really embark on a new venture in my life and a new mission. The story behind the foundation really steps back a number of years back where, you know, I suffer from mental health issues. I suffer from anxiety and panic disorder. And over the many years that I've experienced that, I dealt with it initially with some medications and it really didn't work. It caused a lot of side effects for me, being a very active physician and practicing, and it really affected a lot with my mental ability. I had always been a runner, and I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to kick up my running game and start doing more competitive racing and running. And so I aimed for my first marathon after I had a major panic attack, of which I thought I was going to die. And with my panic attack being centered more around my heart, I thought exercise was a great way of overcoming my fear, because if I can exercise and tolerate exercise well, then I my heart is okay. And that gave me the sense of comfort. So I ended up becoming really a very active person in terms of running. I did a lot of races, lots of marathons. And it really helped me dealing with my mental health issues. And it was a situation where I'm stressed, I'm challenged, I'll just go out there for a run. And it helps me clear my mind. And you know, now that it's 2017, and, you know, stemming from that and from the many years of practicing medicine and experiencing what my patients go through from a mental health standpoint, you know, being a nephrologist and seeing patients who are on dialysis and the challenges that they face, and noting how difficult it was for them to get the mental health care that they need, to find the right therapist, the right care, and then find the care that they can fund, I realized really my mission is about mental health. And the focus is going to be on what really made a difference for me, which is exercise. So my foundation's main mission is bring awareness to, number one, how common mental health challenges are. Number two, the stigma associated with them. And number three is bringing an understanding of how important physical activity in mental health. Mm-hmm. So the main theme behind the foundation, that's the main goal, that's our main mission. And we established back in 2017 a flagship event called the 5-50-50.
Yeah.
Where we actually did 5K in all 50 states in 50 days.
In 50, yeah.
And I did that.
For 6 years straight, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yes. And, you know, COVID got in the way, so we split some of it virtual, some of it running. But I actually did it every single year. Actually, it's more like 8 years. I ran it. I ran five Ks, 50 straight days in 50 different states. It was challenging, and I think, you know, but it was great. It would really allow me to connect with so many people around the country, because mental health is so common, so widespread. Mm-hmm. In every culture, in every community in our society, and really, you know, the 5-50-50 allow me to see an incredible perspective of where mental health is across the nation is, mm-hmm. and how everybody is faced with the same challenge. But I can tell you that the one thing that was always there, the theme that always existed, and everybody that came to do the run or the walk, they said, you know, it makes a difference for me mm-hmm. to be active. You know, exercising really changed my life. And this is coming from a lot of patients. Many of the patients that came to the events have never run a 5K, have never walked 5K. Mm-hmm. And they felt so empowered, you know, by doing so. So the answer to your question, I spent a lot of time explaining it, but this is where we are. Mm-hmm. I'm just thrilled to be able to do what I'm doing. It's been now almost 9 years of my foundation situation. We've accomplished a lot, and we have a lot more to do.
Man, 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 days. I'm struggling to run up five steps, so I commend you for that. I know Shannon got some questions for you as well, Doctor.
Of course. So I know your message is motion impacts emotion. And we talk about movement being a part of mental health care. What does the science tell us about something as simple as walking, dancing, or exercising, and how that affects mental health?
Thank you. That is a very good question. And a couple of years ago, I was asked by the TED Foundation to give a talk, and I summarized that in my TED talk. There's an enormous amount of science today that supports a strong relationship between the muscle and the brain. When your muscle contract, there are hormones that are released that enters the circulations, and then they go straight to the brain. They cross the blood-brain barrier, and they activate neuron cell activities. It activates those neurons. It allows them to grow. It allows them to build better connection with each other. And really fundamentally, there's been a lot of studies that shows that the size of the brain increases in animals who are put under regular physical exercise. So you get more neurons in your head. You got better connectivity in your head. And now there are a lot of evidence of other neurotransmitters that are released from the muscle during the exercise that highly influence our mood, that highly influence our thinking, that highly influence our concentration, our cognitive function. So there's an enormous amount of neurobiology that's out there that strongly support that the muscle and the brain are connected. You know, what goes on into your body from a physical activity standpoint highly influence your brain activity. Now, one other thing I would like to add that physical activity also improves it suppresses the hormones in our body that are not good for our, you know, for our body. For example, certain hormones that really makes it difficult, for example, to metabolize glucose,
to metabolize carbohydrates. So the advantage that exercise have is allows us to bring in the good hormones to take charge of our life, not the cortisol, not the adrenaline, but rather those who are positive, the endorphins and other neurotransmitters that really makes us feel better and feel good.
Don't go any, y'all. We are on the way back with Dr. Adil Korkor on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are punched in on your lunch break. This is your favorite 2 hours of the day with Ray Nitti, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound. We have Dr. Adil Korkor in the building talking to us about mental health, motion, and emotions, and how they connect and how they impact us on a daily basis. Shannon, I know you got some more questions for the doctor.
I definitely do. So when we talk about mental health pertaining to the Black community, as we do a lot on this show, what do you believe that we aren't talking about enough?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I have to tell you that I just attended a conference this morning about the status of mental health in America and in Wisconsin. And it always comes up about the fact that the challenges in the African and Black communities in Wisconsin and probably in the country in general is still really dealing with the stigma associated with mental health.
Yeah.
I think the challenges are there's definite high incidence of mental health challenges in African American communities in the United States. There are a lot of reasons for it. There's economic reasons. There are access issues or affordability issues. But there's also one big challenge is that still stigma, you know, especially among Black men.
Mm-hmm.
I think Black men still face the challenges that, you know, mental illness is a weakness. Mm-hmm. It's something that they really don't feel comfortable sharing. They don't feel comfortable talking about. And I truly believe that the suicide in the African American community and the Black communities in the United States is really underestimated and understated. I think there's a lot of mental health challenges. There's a lot of mental health issues. Some of that again comes back to the poverty, education, the fact that a lot of the communities don't have the support that they need from mental health provider standpoints, counseling standpoints. So there's a lot of challenges in the Black communities. And I think it's a challenge that I truly believe can be overcome, but it requires governmental, community, healthcare providers, healthcare systems all working together in trying to solve this challenge. It's not something that one institution can fix. It has to be a collaborative effort, and it has to be something that connects all these organizations together to try to build, to bring an answer to this huge challenge. One thing that we're interested in, again, like I said, is that physical activity. And to be honest with you, there's also disparity in the availability of, you know, nature walks or safe places for people to go and be active in the inner city, in the Black communities, because there's, you know, it's you see, you got a lot of subdivisions out there in the suburbs where nice walks, nice trails out there, but you don't see much of that available, you know. So there has to be a community effort to actually rebuild those safe areas of kids that can play around and run and walk and enjoy themselves in the outdoors and get the benefits both physically and mentally.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if I answered that.
No, you answered a whole lot that we had. We had a few questions that you just actually touched on. So you're doing an amazing job. No, go ahead, Shannon. I got one I'd like to ask, but go ahead. I know you got some more as well.
Yeah, so you definitely hit on a few questions that I had lined up for you, which is great. But I know you also mentioned that a lot of people see it as a weakness, and we're raised to think just push through it. How do we change that mindset?
Boy, educate, educate, educate. Let people know it's okay. And I think a number of years ago, I spoke at a black church community here in Wisconsin, and I asked, I raised my hand, how many people in this community know of someone who died of suicide? And more than half of them raised their hands. How many people know somebody who have mental health issues? Almost the majority of them lift their hands. So they know that it exists. Okay, they know that there are challenges, but they don't want to, they don't feel comfortable talking about it. So I think it's really educating people that mental health is like physical health. It happens to anyone. It does not have any social barriers. It doesn't have any cultural barriers. It comes across all socioeconomic classes, and it's okay to talk about it because there's help out there. I think that's the one thing that I always want to remind people, that no matter what, there is always help. You can always reach out to somebody, somehow, a neighbor, a friend, a trusted, a teacher. There's always help. And I always encourage, many people who come to me say, "What can we do?" Well, talk about it. That is the first. And talking about it breaks that one barrier. For a man to come home to his wife or partner and say, "You know, honey, I feel depressed today," is a very strong evidence that, yes, now that person in front of him is going to say, "Well, what can I do about it? Let's talk about depression. Is this, what do you feel?" Just sharing their feelings and expressing it and feeling comfortable doing that is the first step to really breaking the barrier.
For sure.
If you
Brad,
just
I know you
joining
had a
us,
question.
if you just joining us, we are live with Dr. Adel Corcoran from AB Corcoran Foundation, talking about mental health. I know on this show, particularly, we talked about men, but in our research, we know that you emphasize reaching children and young adults before they reach a crisis point, right? What
Absolutely.
Should parents and teachers and communities be looking for?
Mental health challenges often begin at a very early stage. And if children who have mental health issues, whether it be because of the situations that they are born in, whether it be because of economic condition, whether it's because of genetic or whatever it is, if they're, and now we have a lot of learning issues and, autism and early detection of those type of disorders, it's so important to address this early in life. What should we be looking for? We should be looking for any behavior issues that don't really jive with the kids' overall growth, that they're aggressive or their speech is not developing correctly, or they're acting out quite a bit. They are they're not emotionally maturing in a way that they feel safe among their family and friends, that their healthy interaction with other children is actually not taking place. So, those are the kind of things that we need to pay attention to as a society, as a family first. And then I think we need to be able to, as a society, and say, you know what? If I have a child who have those kind of challenges, where do I go? Who is the person I need to go to help me deal with those challenges? One thing that my foundation is doing is working with the Benfield Clinic, which is a clinic that right here in Milwaukee, who basically focuses on early detection treatment of mental health issues. And the one thing that's tremendous about this organization is that they go to kids' homes and they talk to their parents, and they work with the parents in their own home environment to help them deal with those issues and help them know how to react when the kids act out and what they should do to help the child
as well what they can do as a as individuals or as partners with their spouses or partners to come up with a mechanism to address, because a lot of time kids might pin the parents against each other and might play with one person. But it's important is that, you know, Penfield Clinic really provides enormous amount of help and support to families, and they can go to their own homes and they help work with the parents and the partners to help them deal with those challenges. Early detection to me is very important. I think that one of the area that I think we have to remember is that early exposure to drugs and alcohol is a huge problem in the Black community. And that really, if it's not addressed and dealt with, that leads to incarceration and crimes and issues that end up being so costly to the individuals, to the families, to the community, to the society, and the nation as a whole.
For sure. Well, we are listening to Dr. Ado Korakor in this really good interview about how motion impacts emotion. We're going to head to break, but we'll be right back with more questions. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the Lunch Break Crew with Ray Nitti, Maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down. On the production and sound, we have Dr. Ado Korakor talking about mental health, the importance of movement and motion and how it impacts our emotions. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. You could also follow us on YouTube. If you can't listen in your cars or on the radio, you could chime in on YouTube. You could also text that number if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation. And you could also join us in the chat on YouTube as well. Shannon, what else you got for us?
Yeah, so there's an upcoming Motion Impacts Emotion Conference in Madison. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, thank you. This is actually our third event. About 3 years ago, after I gave my TED Talk, I said, you know what, with all this information that we have about the importance of physical activity and mental health, you know, I really need to bring all of this information and organize a scientific conference. We call that the International Conference of the Role of Physical Activity in Mental Health, or the Motion Impact Emotion Conference. The first one was done in Heartland. We had 9 speakers from all over the world, and it was very well attended. And we had another event last year, and it was also hosted in Waukesha, a similar group of physicians and scientists from all over the world. And then this year, we are fortunate to have a partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Madison to put on this amazing event. We have 12 speakers from many parts of the world, and they will be talking about many different aspects of how motion impacts emotion from a basic scientific perspective, from the clinical perspective, as well as from the society and the community perspective of how we can build a society where we could integrate and bring access to physical activity as part of a way to address mental health challenges and issues with the community. So it's going to be a day and a half conference. It's going to be hosted at the in Madison, at, like you said, at the Pyle Center. There we it's going to be September 11 and 12. The full day on the 11th, half a day on the 12th. To sign up, you can go on abkf.org. That is abkf.org, and go to events and then conference. And we'd love to have you. I think you'll learn a lot. I think what we need to do is to spread the word, and not only that, it really bring the physical activity part of mental health treatment into work. That is, we all know, and now by that, you know, now there's over 4,000 papers published on how important physical activity and mental health. It's about time to really bring it to the clinical practice. to encourage psychologists and psychiatrists and all of those who do deliver care to their patients to say, you know what, physical activity matters as part of your care. It's not just an optional thing. It's not something, oh, do it when you can. No, it has to be part of your mental health well-being and mental health care. One of the speakers actually is Dr. Simon Rosenbaum, who is a lead author on published over 400 papers on the role of physical activity in mental health and established community-based programs in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, to support that program. He will be speaking at this conference. So I really would encourage you to come and join us. I think you'll learn a lot. And I think more important for me is for you to take that information you would learn and spread it across, because we need to do something that is effective, that is inexpensive, that works.
For sure. So you are bringing researchers, clinicians, community leaders, and people that have lived these experiences together. Why do you think it's important to have all of these different voices at that same table?
I think it's important to put this in a way that people across the spectrum, you know, audience can actually relate to. Because we're not going to have only clinicians attending this conference. We're going to have people, we're going to have lay individuals, we're going to have individuals who are, you know, community activists, who community organizers, who actually steps in and learn different aspects of it. Because it's important to take the science and put it to work. And we need to appeal to a larger and a broader audience of attendees that can benefit from this.
For sure.
And presenters that can share their experience.
So what do people actually do differently after they leave these conferences?
You know, I wish I can share. I have a way of sharing with you what one of the speakers, what happened in the last conference that we did last year. Upon closing, mm-hmm. just before we close the conference, I asked the audience and I said, how many of you feel that attending this conference is going to change the way they practice? And almost entire room's hands were risen.
Wow.
So it's really changing how people feel about physical activity and mental health. It's putting it to work. It's putting it in a format that is applicable to every individual, no matter how serious their mental health issues or how mild, is that physical activity is not just a thing. It's that thing mm-hmm. that could make a difference in their well-being, in their mental health well-being. In addition, of course, to medications and other sources. But you know, just so you know that people have depression, mild to moderate depression, anxiety disorders. Exercise is more effective than drugs in treating them.
Wow. That was actually a good segue into my next question. I wanted to ask, like, is movement a replacement for therapy or medication, or should we just look at it as another tool in that mental health toolbox?
It is that. It's another tool. Yeah. It's not the panacea. Yeah. It's not the answer to all. It's an important adjunctive to the other form of therapy. I'm not going to say to you that somebody who has severe schizophrenia or has other, you know, major mental health issues, severe depression, that exercise is gonna make a difference, or physical activity. That's the answer is no. We're not going that route. We still think that someone who has severe OCD still need to have certain structural or supervised mental health services and care that's done by experienced people. But what I'm trying to say is that physical activity by itself in people of mild to moderate degree of depression and anxiety, like myself, could be the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got time for one more question. I want it to be a good one. Let's go with this one, Shannon. We have so many great questions that you answered. If someone is listening right now and is struggling silently and they've convinced themselves they just have to deal with it alone, what would you want them to hear from you today?
there's help out there. Reach out. Call somebody. Mm-hmm. Talk to somebody. Don't despair is not the right thing to do. Tell them they are loved. There are someone out there that cares about them. And I think they need to reach out.
Do you have any... I just told a story. I said I had one more question. But that prompted another question. Do you have any resources that you would like to share right now before we close that people could reach out to? Maybe it's your foundation that they could reach out to.
I think so. I think my foundation's website has an enormous amount of information and resources that won't reach out to you. But there is NAMI, which is a great organization. Mm-hmm. There is Mental Health America, MHA, which is a great organization. And, of course, there are other institutions like Rogers and other healthcare systems do have mental health services. But I think from a standpoint of getting access to general information, NAMI and Mental Health America, and, of course, our foundation would love to be able to help and support these individuals.
Well, thank you once again to Adil Korkor from AB Korkor Foundation, also one of our sponsors for Truth Family Fest. So make sure you get down to Truth Family Fest and check out some of the amazing resources and things that they'll be offering. Shannon, tell the people where they can find us and close us out. Take us home.
For sure. If you are listening, make sure you go ahead, head over to YouTube and follow the award-winning 101.7 The Truth on YouTube and join the chat. Make sure you follow our host at Ray Nitti, R-A-Y-N-I-T-T-I, and myself, maybe Shannon, M-A-Y-B-E-S-H-A-N-N-O-N. And also give us a call, 833-212-1017 at any show. You can also text that number and head over to Facebook. We are The Lunch Break on Facebook. Before we head out, is there anywhere that we can follow you, Dr. Adil Korkor?
Yes, abkf.org. And we are also active on social media, Instagram, Facebook.
Hey.
All right. Thank you so much for hanging with us at the lunch break. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Shannon. And thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See you at Truth Family Fest. We out.